SpaceX prepares to make history again. FAA whistleblowers are behind the draft Sully petition. And a satellite got a great photo of that new Chinese aircraft carrier. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Aerocast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday through Sunday, December 16th through 18th, 2011. Space Exploration Technologies Incorporated, a.k.a. SpaceX, celebrated the first anniversary of its successful recovery at sea of its Dragon spacecraft back on December 8th. Much has happened in the year since. The company is now preparing for a February flight, which will compress the tests originally planned for two missions into one. And if all goes well, that mission will include docking with the International Space Station to deliver supplies. Last year's flight made history as SpaceX became the first commercial company ever to successfully return a spacecraft from orbit. This feat had previously been accomplished by only five nations and the European Space Agency, based in part on the confidence inspired not only by the achievement, but the precision with which it was executed by SpaceX. NASA has greenlighted combining the next two phases into a single flight. NASA recently announced February 7, 2012, as the new target launch date for the upcoming mission. Dragon will perform numerous operations in the vicinity of the ISS, and if all goes well, will dock with it, allowing astronauts to open Dragon and unload cargo. After Dragon spends about a week berthed at the station, astronauts will reverse the process, loading Dragon with cargo for return to Earth, sealing the hatches, and unberthing Dragon using the robotic arm. Dragon will then return to Earth within a day or so, and the SpaceX recovery crew will meet it at splashdown in the Pacific Ocean off California. The FAA Whistleblowers Alliance, or FWA, has come forward to take credit for the White House petition to draft retired U.S. Airways Captain Chesley Sullenberger for the position of FAA Administrator. An official FWA statement on the group's blog says, in part, quote, "The FAA, we are sad to say, is a broken agency. The FAA has consistently ranked at the bottom of the Office of Personnel Management's annual survey of federal agencies that asks government employees about their job environment and satisfaction. This is the largest safety agency in the DOT, and the message coming from its own employees is that things aren't going well. The FWA has long been bringing the FAA's internal culture problems to light, with little to show for its efforts, other than bureaucratic lip service, which quickly becomes yesterday's forgotten news. Sully, by all accounts, is not controlled by the Washington, D.C. lobbyists, and has spent his professional career relying on and promoting the safety of the air transportation system. His pre-Hudson River landing resume speaks volumes about his professionalism and his efforts to contribute his knowledge to others. The FWA believes he would deal honestly and effectively with the uncomfortable cultural truths hiding behind the FAA logo," unquote. We don't know if Sully would be interested in the position, but one thing, unfortunately, is true. Taking the job and remaining in it may require keeping what you know would be best for aviation to yourself at times, and doing what's politically expedient for the president who appoints you. I personally don't see Sully as a match, and that's a compliment. The FAA has come up with draft recommendations to address the issue of airliners entering aerodynamic stalls, partially in response to the Colgan air crash near Buffalo, New York that claimed 50 lives back in 2009. The Wall Street Journal reports the proposed advisory circular spells out recovery standards for pilots, training instructors, simulator providers, and other segments of commercial aviation. Post-flight analysis of cockpit data and voice recordings suggests the Colgan crew let the Q400 turboprop get too slow on approach, and that Captain Marvin Renslow responded not by getting the nose down to recover, but by pulling back sharply on the yoke. Crash scene evidence suggests the plane had very little forward airspeed at impact, consistent with a stall. Among the changes the FAA will recommend are simulator sessions which present stalls as a surprise to prepare crews for the real thing, and a move away from existing simulator regimens which stress minimizing altitude loss in a stall recovery. The draft of the new AC makes it clear, quote, "At no time should minimum altitude loss be a criterion," unquote. The Wall Street Journal also reports the FAA also wants pilots to get more ground school instruction about aerodynamic principles that can lead to stalls. It is urging that pilots practice such maneuvers at high altitudes using more realistic scenarios. A satellite belonging to a Colorado company has captured an image of China's first aircraft carrier during sea trials off the Chinese coast in the South China Sea. Digital Globe Incorporated posted the image on its website Wednesday, and analyst Stephen Wood told the Associated Press that the location and date of the photo make him confident it is of the Chinese ship. The Chinese government purchased the hull of the ship from Ukraine in 1998 with no engines, weapons, or navigation systems. The Chinese refurbished the vessel over 3 years and say now it is intended for research use. The government did not even admit that it had the ship until it announced it was going to sea. That's led to speculation that the Chinese may be attempting to reverse engineer the aircraft carrier to be able to build one of their own. The AP reports the Pentagon says the current ship could be made operational by the end of next year, but no aircraft are currently available for it, and it would likely be several more years before the carrier would become operationally viable as a warship. You can see the photo in the text version of this story, dated December 16th, at aero-news.net. Still ahead, Cessna's American Patriot Citation brings home another veteran. A controversial former FAA boss has gone west. And the Blue Angels get the party started early. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing. I'm Paul Platt. Cessna Aircraft Company welcomed home to Wichita wounded veteran U.S. Army Private First Class Sean Williams for Cessna's third Veterans Airlift Command mission. Williams came home to a crowd of several hundred Cessna employees, his family, and the local American Legion riders. Williams' stepfather is a Cessna employee. This is Williams' first holiday season home with his family in more than 2 years. Williams was injured in Afghanistan in June of 2011 when the Stryker he was driving hit an improvised explosive device. He was airlifted to Germany, then to Washington, ultimately to San Antonio for treatment at the Brooke Army Medical Center. He suffered burns to his hands and face, had pins inserted into his foot, and was confined to a wheelchair until 3 weeks ago. Cessna, on November 9th, designated a Citation Mustang called American Patriot to provide free transportation for injured veterans. Cessna CEO Scott Ernest explained at the time, quote, "Our commitment of the American Patriot to support the Veterans Airlift Command allows us to demonstrate our gratitude and provide Cessna with a way to give back to our wounded warriors. I encourage those who have not yet registered their aircraft with VAC to join up and fly with us so no travel need goes unmet," unquote. Students in Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University's helicopter specialty degree program will be even more well-prepared for work in the helicopter industry, thanks in part to L3 Communications. L3 has donated a set of night vision goggles to be used within the Bachelor of Aeronautical Science helicopter specialty degree program. The university's Prescott, Arizona campus will be using the NVGs in the advanced course, Environmental Helicopter Operations, in which students learn about operating helicopters in adverse weather and other conditions, including day, night, and night vision goggle operations. The fact that the Tempe, Arizona L3 Warrior Systems Electron Tube Operations Facility is close to Embry-Riddle's Prescott campus provides unique opportunities. Field trips give students the opportunity to see sophisticated manufacturing processes used to build the complex microchannel plates, as well as the other components of the NVGs. ANN has learned that former FAA Administrator J. Lynn Helms, who led the agency during Ronald Reagan's first term as president and was instrumental in the firing of 11,000 striking air traffic controllers, passed away December 11th at the age of 86. The Washington Post reports that he succumbed to heart failure and complications from pneumonia at his home in Westport, Connecticut. Helms was administrator from April 1981 to January of 1984. According to Wikipedia, he retired from Piper in 1980 to assist the incoming Reagan administration with aviation policy, and was later confirmed as the administrator. Helms is credited with originating the traffic avoidance concept, which eventually became TCAS, for which he was awarded the Collier Trophy. During his career, he was named General Aviation Man of the Year by Gamma in 1978 and became chairman of the organization in 1979. He was also awarded the General James H. Doolittle Award and Trophy by the Society of Experimental Test Pilots in 1980. And finally this week, it's exciting to have your air show selected for an appearance by the U.S. Navy Blue Angels. And that excitement starts early, as the team sends advanced planners to selected locations, often including one of its signature blue and gold FA-18 Hornets. The Navy schedules its famous jet team 2 years out and makes use of the airshow off-season to run some of those advanced missions. Especially in smaller markets, the visits can grab lots of media attention. This past Monday, Lieutenant Commander Todd Royals met the media in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, where the Blue Angels will perform as part of the Power on the Prairie airshow in July. He told KDLT Television, quote, "No two show sites are the same, so most important thing for us is to come here, meet with airshow officials, and go over the variables there are here in Sioux Falls. So when we go back to Pensacola and brief our team on the show site, we got some good solid plan in place and can come out to town and we can fly an exciting but safe demonstration," unquote. He gave KELO-TV in Sioux Falls a preview, quote, "We're going to do a pass that's just shy of the speed of sound. As well, we're going to demonstrate the slow speed hanging characteristics, as well as the multitude of technical demonstration maneuvers that the pilots are capable of," unquote. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.